I choose you. I value you. You are worthy. Almost always, those are important words to hear. But of all the choosing, being chosen for love is perhaps the most profound experience that many of us have in our lives. Having someone who knows you, really knows you, look into your eyes and make that profession, I choose you. Not just for today, but for the duration. And I promise to protect you. I gotcha. Don't be afraid. I won't let anything happen to you. I will love you forever. My goodness, it can just take your breath away. Those are extravagant promises. And even in the moment of hearing them, we know that they are not words to be analyzed by logic or run through a probability assessment. They are not a contract to which a partner can be held. They are words of the heart, words of commitment and love, whatever the future might hold. Words of commitment and love, whatever the future might hold. That's how I understand today's words from Isaiah 43. Extravagant promises offered in love to those whose past relationships have left them doubtful of their own worth. When you pass through the waters, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame will not consume you. Surely these are not literal promises. They're not encouraging us to ride out hurricanes or go to one of those Tony Robbins firewalk seminars. Surely these are words intended to stir our emotions. A poem, for they are poetry, to affirm and comfort those who feel all alone. Such, we believe, was the audience of the people who first heard these words. Often called Second Isaiah, because the words reflect not the 8th century setting of Isaiah of Jerusalem, but the 5th century setting of the Babylonian exile, this anonymous poet speaks to people who have been in exile for decades. Probably some of them were actually born in exile. Exile is all they have ever known. And behind this poet's words, here and in the surrounding poems, we can hear their pain, their sense of abandonment, their fear, their doubt in God's care and power. As the opening of the collection acknowledges, Jerusalem has already paid double for all its sins. Perhaps God no longer cares what happens to them. Who knows, maybe God couldn't do anything about it anyway. Because in times of abandonment, it's easier to believe that the gods of your enemy are stronger than yours. Even theoretical monotheists can become practical polytheists in times of despair. Look at the world. Is God really in charge? It is no wonder that in response to that level of despair, this poet feels the need to repeatedly cry out, "Do not fear. See the power of God. Feel the love of God." It's no wonder that the poet insists it is time for something new and takes those words from the first Isaiah and remixes them to say something new. The message of that first Isaiah, who preached scathing judgment and predicted the downfall of the people, Those words are now remixed into a love song of hope. So while first Isaiah once warned that the enemy was a weapon in God's hand wielded against the people, this poet now celebrates the power of God's arm to save them. See, God comes with might, says Isaiah 40. His arm rules for him. He comes bringing reward. And this poet also finds new hope in the fact that God is Israel's creator. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, continues Isaiah 40, and marked off the heavens with a span, enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales? Have you not known? Have you not heard? God is an everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. God has the power to save. And according to the poem that we read today in Isaiah 43, Israel's creator is also its redeemer. God is Israel's extravagant redeemer, who will protect the exiles as they embark on their own exodus out of their own land of captivity. They will pass through the water safely, just as their ancestors did long ago. And others will join them, all who have been scattered from the north and the south, sons from far away and daughters from the ends of the earth, all of them will be gathered. Extravagant, extravagant promises. And I find it fascinating that those extravagant promises were preserved here in 2 Isaiah, even after the reality of the return turned out to be not quite this glorious. There is a third Isaiah. It takes a long time to read this book. And in that part, it describes the actual experiences of the return in much less optimistic ways. Justice is far from us, complains Isaiah 59, and righteousness does not reach us. Why do you keep silent, O God, laments Isaiah 64, and punish us so severely? Why, I wonder, in the midst of 3rd Isaiah, were the extravagant promises of 2nd Isaiah preserved? Why were they not edited out in light of later experience? Why were these love letters not burned? Apparently, for the Isaiah memory keepers, even when things did not turn out as expected, these songs of love and commitment were worth keeping, worth believing in. This expression of love and care remained powerful and healing even when the relationship faced new challenges. Even when God was not experienced as Israel's great lover, God's promises remained. It is our Christian hope that these words extend beyond their first audience, that what they say about God continues to be true in our lives as well, that the God who created and redeemed Jacob is the creator, redeemer, and sustainer whom we worship and to whom we pray, and that these words are worth holding on to, whatever our own experience of devastation might be. In this moment, what in today's words from Isaiah 43 do you need to hear? Do you need to hear again that you are loved and cherished by God? And if so, beloved, hear them again and trust that they are true for you. You, says God, are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. Do you need to hear again that God's love is not just for you, but for all those who have been scattered from their lands and their homes? If so, lovers, hear the words again and trust that they are true for others. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. In your time of despair, dare to believe that God cares. You are chosen. You are loved. And so are all who are created for God's glory, and that is all people. And like this poet, may we take up the task of helping others know they are chosen. They are loved. Do not fear, all people, for God has redeemed us. God has called us by name. We are God's. We are all precious in God's sight and honored, and God loves us. Thanks be to God. That is a love song worth keeping.